An important skill many ministers would do well to cultivate is listening. That's the key sentence for our SermonCoach.com podcast for today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I have a question for you today. In most ministers' arsenal of skills, is there one you think is too often lacking?
Well, I have one that comes to mind immediately. This is not anything to do with preaching, which is usually what our topic is, but it has to do with all the hours when the minister isn't in the pulpit. And that would be, I think, that the average minister needs to work more on the skill of listening. Let me share a story or two, and then that'll give you a feel for why I say that. I recall a time when I was kind of pleased to be a part of a group of 8 people, including the pastor and his wife, in a small group. And I went to the first meeting, and that was fine because there was a lot of getting to know one another and questions asked about various people in the group. They were good people. They were all leadership people, I would say. And then in the second meeting, we began to discuss questions related to the Bible study or whatever. After a while, I said to my wife, "I'm not really enjoying this." And she said, "What is the reason?" And I said, "Well, I don't know if you've noticed this, but one person is dominating. So it's kind of this person talks and somebody else, then this person, then somebody else, then this person, then this person." And so it was the minister who seemed to become the expert on everything. It was hard to get a word in. So that when it was all done, I think the minister enjoyed it immensely. But I remember saying to my wife, "He's a good guy, and it doesn't bother me when he's in the pulpit because that's what I expect. But when he's in the small group, he dominates everything. And I think he would be much better off for the sake of the group that he would not talk quite as much." I talked to another friend in the group, and I didn't say what I was thinking, but I said, "What is your response to the group?" And the person said, "Well, I don't know if you noticed this, but it's kind of become a monologue, and it's becoming more and more the women talk and this man, but all of the men are kind of holding out and sometimes not coming, and they aren't sick that often. What's the problem?" Well, it was the problem of a minister who knew how to talk but didn't know how to listen. And that was one of a number of such illustrations I can give. I think specifically of a minister of renown. I'm dying to tell you the name, but I'm not going to, and I don't think you could guess it in many, many years. But I had a friend who was going through a very difficult time, and this friend of mine admired immensely the minister that I would name, because it's a name, you'd recognize the name immediately. And I knew him. The Lord's been good to me. I know a lot of people. And I invited this well-known minister and his wife to come and kind of be a ministry person to this friend of mine who was hurting. The friend who was hurting was certainly well-known, but not nearly the same level name. And I briefed this well-known minister, and I said, "This is the problem. He needs someone just to listen to him. And I think from your experiences, you could be a real help." Well, it didn't turn out to be a time when my hurting friend got to say anything, because we were just all these stories, one story after another, about this man's ministry and his experiences. And when it was all over, I said to my wife, "So sorry. You know, I forget sometimes these really well-known people are very good at talking." And it was a failure as far as what I had hoped it would be. But it was, again, one of those times in terms of my getting to know people where I realized that ministers have a tendency to talk a whole lot. And I have one story also about a person you know, but I won't tell because it's too embarrassing to me how many times I've thought to myself, "Can I ever keep my mouth shut?" You know, and I would have to say that what we're going to suggest this podcast is possible because the Lord has changed me a lot. I was one of those guys who couldn't stop talking. I knew everything about everything. So yeah, you don't get a course in listening, but you learn a lot from listening, and you don't have to be the only one who is speaking. So that's how I would answer. Listening would be a huge skill for the average minister to learn.
It reminds me of the very first time that I met you and we spent some time together. I had listened to you on the radio. In fact,
is this a bad story about me?
No, this is a good story
about
you.
Okay, I hope so.
In fact, at that time, I was working at a Christian radio station and was the one that was pushing the button to air your program. And I had also met a number of people in Christian media, and most of them I had found to be pompous and obnoxious.
I didn't say that, Dean, but you tell your story. Go ahead.
And nevertheless, as I met you, you, I had certain preconceived notions, which you completely and utterly destroyed in the first 20 minutes that I spent with you, because I kept trying to get you to tell me about yourself and your ministry, and all you wanted to do was ask me questions about me.
Oh, I'm so
and
glad.
It was interesting because as we talked, I remarked on what you were doing, and you told me a story about something in your past where there had been a well-known pastor and you'd been in his presence. And he went on at some length talking about himself and his ministry and changed lives and all kinds of things. And then at a point in the conversation, he said, "Well, I've talked long enough about myself. I'm going to stop now and let you talk about me for a while."
That's funny. That's funny. That's an old Winston Churchill line, as I recall. But just, yeah, it's a big problem. Part of the reason is that ministers, for the most part, have a lot to say. Ministers, they've gone through many issues in their lives. They're smart. You can't be in ministry and not have some degree of communication skills, so they're good at that. And they're also sitting ducks because people kind of defer to ministers all the time. So you have to say, that's just part of what being a minister is, so I need to somehow learn over time, which I met you a long time ago. So if I had started to learn that long back, I'm glad. That makes me feel good. Is that you are interesting, but other people are far more interesting than you give them credit for being. So somehow feel them out. That's a very important part of ministry and serves you very well. I think you probably thought that was a good quality.
I did indeed. And by the way, it's been 37 years. That's a long time ago.
I wish it were 47 and that happened, because I still have memories of myself talking incessantly.
These are not easy stories to hear. Are you sure that the things we're talking about aren't exceptions rather than the rule?
I think the person in ministry who spends more time listening is probably the exception. You know, I've only met X number of ministers in my life, so I'm not the person who has the final answer on all of this, but I have met an awful lot of ministers. And I have to say that they're very, very good people, and most of them talk more than they should. So this is something that as people listen to us, they probably should say, like I say to my kids, or I say to parishioners, or I say to friends, maybe this is a word from the Lord, maybe it's not. What you need to do is to go to the Lord and say, is this true of me? Is it true that I am a poor listener? Is it true that I talk way more than I should? Holy Spirit, you teach me. You're the one who has to convince me in my heart. And the Holy Spirit will begin to do that work. In fact, if you come away from a social night and the Holy Spirit, through your wife, like he has many times in my life, says, do you realize that you probably talked as much as all the rest of the people put together? And it just hurts something terrible when your wife says that and you're afraid that the Holy Spirit was involved in her saying that to you. Yes, that's one of those things where you say, you know, no one ever told me that it's much better if I listen more, and I will be appreciated more, and on top of that, I probably will be perceived as a better follower of Jesus. I don't have to be the final answer on everything. That would be a good thing for people as a result of just listening to us talk.
Do you suppose that some of the need to be the one always talking comes from a fundamental insecurity that a lot of pastors may feel?
I've never thought of that. If you ask me if that was true in my life, probably was. I was probably insecure in who I was and needed other people to affirm me. That was a funny way to get at it. It's maybe true not only of ministry. There are probably a lot of professions where people talk way more than they should and should be better at listening, would be appreciated more. It's insecurity, yeah.
Yeah, I always found in the business world in meetings when someone would dominate the conversation, it was usually someone who felt quite insecure with themselves or perhaps with the situation they were in.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is comfortable in social situations. What are some suggestions you might make to a pastor who wants to overcome this problem and become a good listener?
Most people in ministry are married, not all of them. I think your spouse is a good sounding board. You'd have to be secure enough in asking. I think there are also people who are your co-laborers in ministry that you can say, I have an area I'm working on in my life. It's a skill of listening. I tend to interrupt people a lot. I wish that you would be my friend and tell me when you think this is happening. I don't want you to tell me in front of everybody. You know, you're a blabbermouth again. But if you could at least let me know in some ways, that would be a good thing. I don't think that a co-worker would take that as anything but a humble request. I'm not sure that there are many people listening to us right now who will be open to that, but there may be a handful. in which case we've accomplished a lot. I think that also there's, like in anything where you're trying to overcome a negative side, if you have people who applaud, say you really did that well, this was a good night, you didn't just keep your mouth shut the whole time, but you were careful, you made statements that were pithy and short, and you made statements that also ask other people, like, that's what I think, what do you think? You know, those are good statements. So you have the affirmation of friends. I think that's a good thing. Every time you begin to see progress in terms of a certain flaw and you feel like you're making progress, there's great joy that comes. And there's that sense of, I'm not going to be like I used to be. I'm going to be different. And I think that's the very beautiful part of following Christ and the Holy Spirit's role in affirming you. So you're looking for those times when, you know, you say, I don't know whether anyone will notice that I'm different, but God, I'm making a request. Could you please just every so often have somebody make a statement that indicates to me that I'm improving? You know, and then the Lord answers that prayer and you say, thank you, Lord. That's good. I'm going to make it.
An important skill many ministers would do well to cultivate is listening. We're so glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. You found our podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website where we have resources to help pastors create effective ministry. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.